Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grace and peace.
Shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom, Israelites. Grace and peace. Grace and peace.
Grace
shalom.
And peace.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, Israel. Grace and peace. Amen.
Shalom, family. Amen. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister
Mary.
Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom,
Brother Joe.
Grace and peace. Shalom, Israelite.
Shalom, Mary.
Shalom. I just love you guys. I just.
Oh, I love you, you too, sis.
We love you too.
Thank you.
I got caught up in the Facebook art business. Lost track of time. All you gotta do is fill my coffee and we're good to go.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, it's a blessing. We need each other. I seen Joe for 8 o'clock. I looked up and hold on, what time is it?
Bruh. I'm still trying to pronounce this here.
He can't do it.
Oh, don't worry, man. Don't worry, man. You got a good one tonight, y'all. You know, it's in a whole different pattern. You know what I'm saying? To be honest, I'm glad we didn't get a chance for it last week. So, you know, that's this lesson. It's one of those, if you don't work out,
For example, if you're trying to lose weight, right, we're trying to get money. This way we're dealing with today is that if you do it wrong, you might mess yourself up for life. So, you know, that's why I had to really make sure I just take the time out and look and really look at this lesson to make sure it's just what the Father wants us to go with tonight. So all I got to do is, so I'm putting my headphones on right now. Everybody go ahead and get started.
Amen. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Yeah.
All right, okay, yeah, we ain't, we ain't got nothing but space and opportunity. And you know, it's a blessing too, y'all. Hey, man, this is day number 6, no cigarette.
Amen, amen.
Day number 6.
That's right.
I'm a vapor. I did a they had an article I read about it. They said that if you want to quit smoking cigarettes, if you can't stop cold turkey, they said vaping is a much better way to do it. They prefer not to do both of them, but they said vaping is a lot more safe. So, you know, I've been coughing up and sneezing up mucus for the last days. And come to figure out is that that body isn't getting that nicotine at once, so it's cleaning my whole body out. I've been drinking water and stuff like that, so it just feels good.
That's encouraging, bro. That's encouraging news, man. That's a gorilla, man, to let go. And if the Father setting you free, man, stand the battle, Jack. If he's giving you armor, then you got it. Stay with it, man. I'm going to tell you, man, I was 27 and I'm 55 now. So that's like 23 years ago since I had my last square. And I thought the prices was off the chain then. And I'm giving like $10 a pop. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? One pack of squares is $10. I said, man, I'm so glad I quit.
Right. Right.
Wow.
I'm telling you, bro.
Yo.
I spent so much money on cigarettes because, you know, man, I got the bills done. I got the silk gold. Got everything done. And then turn around and you got about the food. You think you got a little play money, right? And turn around you get about them stinking cigarettes. Only $12 in the pocket. I said, man, skip these cigarettes, man. Yep. Well, y'all, it's time to get started. Thank you, everybody, for your time for my delay. I apologize. I'll work on that for next time. But do I have a reader tonight?
Yeah. Brother Nakomi. Ooh. Amen.
Nakomi, amen. Hey, what's up, Nakomi? I know you was online.
Shalom.
I'm good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We'll call you the Midnight Watcher, man. You just come creep right in. I'm smooth operator.
Amen.
All right, okay, cool. Yeah, it's a blessing, yeah. It's enough talking. It's time to get in.
Amen.
And how do everybody sound? You got any feedback? Matter of fact, Nakomi, you sound
good.
No,
you sound good. You sound great.
All right,
bro.
Cool. All right, yeah. Cool, yeah.
Amen.
It's time to get started.
It's time systems to go. All systems go. Yep.
Oh, yes. Good. Okay. That's good. That's great news. Great news. What's going on, Nakomi? Grace and peace, bro.
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, man. I think you need to change the name of your precept, man. I think somebody's trying to chop in on the system. Make sure you can get your workout. They might get some sleep.
The enemy is there. Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's how high it is, brother. That's how high it is. That's what it is.
That's why we got to
the lesson is.
Mm-hmm.
That's how high the spirit of the lesson is. The enemy is coming against it so hard.
Right.
That's how high that is. So we're going to keep trying to keep that one coming out. We're going to keep trying to present that precept. The devil is a lie.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Ain't gonna prevent that lesson from being ran. That lesson gonna go forward. You know what? It's an old saying in the world out. The higher you climb on a mountain, the stronger the wind blows. Well, that's one of them high precepts, and the enemy don't want it out there.
Right.
So I'm on it. I have to apologize about that, but that those things are beyond our control. If you want to do the precept tomorrow evening, Friday night, man, that'd be like a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Nah, I'm just gonna wait till next week. I'm saying just like
you good?
Isaiah, just wait another week. I said I can just wait till next week.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, then
okay.
I just want to hear from Friday night, Sunday morning, excellent.
Right. I can just wait till next week.
Okay, well, then that's a beautiful thing, man. We're going to definitely get some test runs before we get into that Wednesday lesson, man. Apologies.
Amen.
So we're going to turn this over to our brother, Mr. Isaiah Brown. out of Peoria, Illinois. The Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class.
Amen.
Grace and peace, brother.
Hey, grace and peace. Hebrews and Sheep.
Please tell us the title of that lesson, man. And I'm
about to say it right now because I thought about it. I know some of them about it. So, yeah, we're going to get into this lesson. We're going to break down the name of this precept. But, I mean, if you can keep them open, bro, because everybody sound good, just in case. You know what I'm saying? That's cool with you guys?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody been pretty good on keeping the quietness down, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, but it's 8:10, so, you know, I know we missed a couple of days, so it's a beautiful thing and a blessing to catch up. All right, family,
amen.
Grace and peace. My name is Brother Isaiah. I bring the lesson tonight, and my reader tonight is Brother Nekomi Israel. Grace and peace, bro.
Shalom.
All right, shalom. All right, and the name of the precept that so many people were so into is called Mythos and Dubious. Mythos and Dubious. Mythos is H-O-S, and it's dubious, but I just call it Dubious because that's how I talk. You know, it's easy for me to say that, but just in case, it's D-U-B-I-O-U-S. Mythos and dubious. That's the actual word for it. And methos is just another word for invention. Dubious is another word for hesitating and doubting. So if we're dealing with prophets, we're dealing with the prophets that had their own inventions, and we're going to also be getting into prophets that has fell under the category of under the name of dubious, which means hesitating and doubting. We all on the same page? We got what's going on?
Amen.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Driven. Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So, you know, this precept will go all kind of ways. So, you know, that's why I just really took my time with it, because in 1 second, this precept can go a whole different other way. You know what I'm saying? But we just only pinpoint on certain parts because, like I said, this is a brand-new lesson. This is something brand-new that the Lord showed me. You know, and I'm just thankful enough that he showed me a filthy rag on how to put this precept together because it wasn't easy. Like I said, the Bible OCD was so hard that I had about 57 scriptures. You know what I'm saying? And then I started over at least 9 times during this lesson. You know what I'm saying? Just to make sure that it was line upon line, precept upon precept, hiller and della. So, you know, if it's anything you don't understand, please do not hesitate to stop the precept or press the #1 button, and we can check it out, okay? So I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer. If Nakomi, you can read whatever the Father put on your heart. So all the sisters, please cover your head. All brothers, please uncover your head. Let's face Jerusalem, and let's pray in. After this matter, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus' righteous holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I have read Psalms chapter 91, verses 1 through 10. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, man.
Amen. Amen, brother.
The back
Hallelujah.
Of my head was in the front neck, man. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, bro. This would be a good lesson.
What's up?
Amen, bro. Well, as usual, on a Thursday night precept, the spirit of meekness and charity, it's time for us to take these scriptures off the shreds and get into this lesson that is called Mythos and Dubious. It's because another thing during this lesson that the Lord showed me is that the word perfect, a perfect man. You see, Bruce, Hebrews and Shebrews, physically and spiritually, we all need to understand that if God called you perfect, it doesn't mean that you're only that perfect that, what's that prophet name? The one I was translating. Enoch. You see what I'm saying? Enoch. So we're going to be dealing with a whole bunch of stuff about a precept that's dealing with inventions, hesitating and doubting, how to stay on the right side of God, how not to have pride stooped up in your heart, and when the Lord called you upright and perfect man, we're going to get into that. I'm not going to talk about that. We're just going to let the scriptures take out that last spot. So let's go ahead and get into this book, y'all. Let's go into the book of Psalms 99. It's because we need to get right into this. You know what I'm saying? We need to get right into this lesson. It's because it's something that all Hebrews and Shebrews need to understand. You know, and it's a lot of reasons why the book is called to keep telling us we have one teacher, and that one teacher is Christ. It's because one thing I learned from what the Lord allowed Job to say is that men will surely put you down. It's a beautiful thing to have people that, you know what I'm saying, that you look up to, but you don't want to give all of your intentions to the person that taught you, because we have this book right here in our faces to get us right and the things that the Lord wants us to get right. But remember, the book said that there's none righteous, no, not one. So the Lord is telling you we all need his grace and mercy, to the greatest prophet, to the least prophet, to the most holiest man, to the less holiest man, to the most perfect and upright and righteous man, to the one that's that's hesitating day and night. All men and women creations that the Lord made need his grace and mercy. We all fall short. And let's look at the scripture. Let's get an understanding of what this book is talking about. So the first thing we're dealing with is the precept is the word mythos. The word mythos means invention. And we're going to break that down eventually after we finish reading the book of Psalms chapter 99, verses 1 through 9. So we're in the book of Psalms chapter 99. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. I may or may not cut you off, bro, but when you get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms chapter 99, starting at the 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy.
Amen.
The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou doest establish equity. Thou executest judgment in righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredest them, O Lord our God. Thou hast was a God that forgavest them. Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
No. You mean to tell me that Moses and Aaron and Samuel? You mean to tell me that they had inventions that the Lord wasn't too pleased with? Gave them because they loved his laws, statutes, and commandments? That's a big mouthful said right there. I was on the phone with my brother. We was in Psalms 99 for about 3 hours, just looking through scriptures on this right here. It's because ordinance is laws and commandments and order, and it also means mandate, which means instruction. So they love his law, they love his commandments, they love his order, and they love the mandate. And the mandate is his instruction. So that just told us a lot right there, is that everybody falls short. There's not a man that's walking on this earth that's doing a unanimous perfect job, well, according to the scriptures. I don't know what a man is out there is doing, but the book is simply telling us is that we don't even come close to Moses. We don't even come close to Aaron. We don't even come close to Samuel. But you mean to tell me that the Lord took vengeance on their inventions, which is Mustafa? Let's look at more of this this definition. And I got to out the Bible Hub in the Greek. Well, I'm sorry, in the Hebrew. It means invention. And it came up as mythos, and it's a noun, and also masculine. And it means an idle tale, fable, and fanciful story. And the word fanciful story is an adjective. It means hesitating or doubting, uncertain, also unsure, questionable. And when you look at unsure and questionable, it's another form of saying dubious. It's that you're unsure, and that, or the things that you talk about is also questionable. It don't seem like it's all there. But the Bible told us that God forgave them because they love him. And the only way that you're going to love God is if you keep his commandments and do them. Doesn't mean that, you know what I'm saying? So all I can say is that a man can only do his best to serve God. That's why I'm not too quick to jump and attack people, because we all need to understand that we all got a level of understanding. You know, the Lord might give Job an understanding in the 9. He might give me his same understanding, but he might give me a 4. He might give Nicole the same understanding, but he might get it in a 6. Same thing with the sisters. Honestly believe that the Lord, if he want us to get, I understand that I'm starting to think that the Lord has given every man and woman a level of understanding, and we need to reach that level of understanding to stay in his grace and mercy.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Not everybody's a 10. Not everybody's a 9. Not everybody's an 8.
Sir.
You know, the Lord might bring somebody in the truth that only have the understanding of the dietary law or maybe keeping the Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? That might just be their portion. You might have some that's even further than that. The whole thing I'm saying is that everybody has a portion of understanding that the Most High God gave them. Doesn't mean everything they're talking about is necessarily straight. But we cannot sit up there and say that they're not serving as a God. So that's where that word false comes from, and that's also where the word dubious comes from. The Lord took vengeance on the prophet's inventions, so I don't know what it is, so all I'm doing is just telling you the definition. And you know, it's just an idle tale, it's a fable, and I also looked at the word fable, and fable means allegory. So it's obvious that they could have been looking at other things and putting it in poems, they could have been putting it in a picture to show somebody something that just probably wasn't it. So I'm going to stop for a second in Psalms 99, verses 1 through 9, because we could be in this verse for the whole precept. So I'm going to put a pause on this right here. We will go back and talk with this one. Because it's so much other stuff, because we don't know what he took his vengeance out on. But we understand that the Lord wasn't pleased with whatever they was talking about or whatever they talked to people. Because we look at verse 7, no, but you look at verse 8, it says, thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou was a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their invention. But remember, they teachers, they taught people. So did he take vengeance out on the people because of what they taught them? Or was it just simply he just took vengeance on them and the people? So we don't know, because it don't really go into detail like that. But we just understand it. But what the only thing we can get out of what we just read is that everybody falls short in the area. And there ain't nobody straight like that. But the only way to stay on the good side of the Most High God is to obey him and keep his commandments. Because we need to understand something too. The Lord made us a certain way. Being men, we always tend to tune back into our own inventions. So let's look at more of this with false. Let's go to book Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Book of Ecclesiastes, I said Ecclesiastes. I better say the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and just one verse, 29, bro. Because if you also look at the word inventions also means fairy tale. It's just the definition just goes so far into detail of words. You know what I'm saying? But right now, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, just one verse, 29. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 29, when you get it, go ahead and read.
Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions.
And that's just putting the icing on the cake, what we read in the book of Psalms chapter 99, verse 1 through 9. A lot of things we're going to be talking about is going to be talking right back on the book of Psalms chapter 99. But that's just, we just learned that man has an issue. Man has an issue of following after his own heart and to tangle in on his own inventions. So that's why we got to make sure that we stay on the right path and not to make our own inventions. Because
go ahead. Can I ask a question right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Quickly. Did you just say that this scripture, if I'm not mistaken, I'm just, according to the definition that you just gave us, in this scripture, man sought out many fables? Is that what this just said?
Yeah.
Men sought out many fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. And guess what?
You said inventions are fables and fairy tales, right?
It also means, when you look at the word fable, fable also means allegory.
Wow. What I'm getting at is, okay, all right, there it is. Parable. Makes sense. Okay.
See, because it says that, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And we look at the word inventions, the first thing that popped up at the definition was bathos, which was a noun and also masculine. It means an idle tale, fable, and a fanciful story. And when you look up the word fable, one of the definitions for fable is allegory. And when you look up fanciful story is an adjective and it means hesitating or doubting, uncertain, unsure, and also questionable. And the word questionable the word unsure, when you look that word up, dubious is up under that one.
Ooh.
So unsure is another word for dubious. So this is what this precept is about. Inventions, hesitating, doubting, and just breaking it down to two words so it's not one of massive long paragraph precepts. You just go call it mythos and dubious. But yeah, you all right. Because God made us upright. Because when the Lord made us, he gave us his instructions. And even when the Lord took us from out of Egypt, he gave us his instructions. So we sought out our own inventions. Moses was gone, for a month? How long was Moses gone up in the mountains? How long was he gone? How long was he up in the mountains with the Lord when they made that golden calf?
40 days.
Yep.
40 days. I couldn't think of it. Thank you. You see, as soon as they seen what the Lord did, what did they do for what man is good for, leaving off the instructions and started to go after inventing their own thing. And it went right to Aaron. Aaron knew exactly how high his position was because the Lord used Aaron to do a lot of things for the staff anyway. Break off your earrings and give me your jewelry so we can make this thing. These be thy gods, right? So it just tells you the order of man and the downfall of man. We a lot of times seek after our own inventions. It doesn't mean that we're doing it to their type of invention, but inventions is just a fable. It's also it's an idle tale. You know what I'm saying? Or you could be talking about something that falls up under the category is dubious. And dubious means it's unsure and also questionable. All these are the exact same things. So as being Hebrews and Shebrews, we need to make sure we don't fall off that line. Because suddenly, this is what man is. And we're going to find out more about this precept. So let's go into the book of Psalms, chapter 106. Let's read more about these inventions. Well, mythos. Let's read more about the falling up under the same line as mythos. So let's go in the book of Psalms, chapter 106. And we're going to read verses 13 through 15, and then we're going to skip down to verse 29. You get it, Brooke? What the book say?
Psalms 106 and 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but left it exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul.
So this is the same thing. You know what I'm saying? They believed his words. They sang his praises. I just went up to verse 12. They believed him, right, when they sang it. But what man is good at doing is leaving off the instructions and following their own heart. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Mythos, inventions. And it's also got to be a part of Dubias because now they are unsure and questionable. Because you have to be unsure and questionable if you start to leave off his instructions. So now you think he's flawed. Dubias right there. Well, dubious right there. Skip down to 29.
Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them.
That's good, bro. That's all we need. So, thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them, right? So, thus they provoked him to anger with their idle tales, with their fables, their fanciful stories, their own allegories, their own inventions. And because you went after your own heart with your own invention, what happened? The plague was break loose on them. But we understood one thing during the book of Psalms 99. The Lord forgave Moses, Aaron, and Samuel because they loved him. So if the Lord is wrecking all this havoc on people that's going out there on inventions, it's obvious that they don't get the mercy that they get because they don't love him. Because the Lord said, I'm gonna show you mercy if you let me keep my commandments. So he understands that we tend to fall off at times, but the whole thing is that who loves him enough to obey him and follow him? You're a filthy wreck, you go fall short. I don't care who you are. You go fall short. But the ones that I believe that get the mercy is the ones that keep his commandments and do them. So when I put this lesson together, it really showed me some major humility with other brothers, with other elders and everything. It's because I just learned that if God forgave them for their inventions because they love his law, statutes, commandments, why would he love them or anybody else? So that's why it's X'd out and blown in stone. Do the best you can to serve God. That's, I promise you guys, y'all mark my words when I say this. Please mark my words when I say this. The only thing I'm going to tell y'all is this right here. Do the best you can. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to look at you no other type of way because I don't know what you're going through or what battles you have. The only thing I'm going to say is just do the best you can to serve God. Just do the best you can and hope he has mercy on you. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Because we're going to start to understand why I say that the more we get into this lesson. Because no matter what type of works we've done, the Lord called us something. Let's check this thing out. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 3. In the book of Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verses 3 through 5, and we're going to skip. Book of Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and then we're going to skip. You get it, Brew, what the book says.
Romans chapter 3, starting at 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Uh-huh.
God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged.
Amen. Check out what this said. Verse 4, it says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. So that's why it is very important for us just to stick to the instructions that's written in the pages of the book and understand that it's his words and his words alone that got the truth. Anybody talk against what's written in the pages of the book and what's the truth, the Lord said that man is a liar. So let's be mindful of this. It's because that's how the word through bias can get into our hearts. Dubious, I'm sorry. This is how the word dubious can get in our hearts, which means hesitating and doubting. Because we fall off the instructions of what the Lord is saying, and then we start following man. We found that out with fringes. You know, you did it with the wave offering. And even the things that Nakomi brought to the table. Now, like I said, it's not attacking them brothers, but this is how you can start to faint in your heart. It's when you stop thinking and seeing that the Lord said that I'm true. Every man, everybody else is a liar. Read verse 4 again, bro.
4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged.
Go ahead.
But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man.
Woo, so that's the same. That's in the same man as well, because then the Lord said he took vengeance. Didn't the book say even though he took vengeance on their invention? Because, of course, if he took vengeance on their inventions, that's telling us that he took vengeance on their unrighteousness because it's something that came out their own heart, their own mind. So now we're looking at verse 5. It says, but if our unrighteousness commit means prove the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. So, of course, it's consequences when you teach wrong. But it doesn't mean it's to the point that you're going to get cut off. It could simply mean that you just don't know no better. Or you talking too far out your mouth on something you don't understand. Let's be mindful of that. Get down to verse 10.
10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understand.
That's why we read Psalms 99 verses 1-9 to pull. Because I'm not throwing them. Because y'all know I love me some Moses. Well, I tell you four books of him. You know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is this right here. That's why we read that Psalms 99:2, verses 1 through 9. It's just to show that we all got something we need to work on. Everybody has an issue in his flesh that we're supposed to be fighting with every single day. And the time that you think that you're straight and the time you think that you're not battling nothing, you all good, you got a spot in the first resurrection, woe unto you. We all got something we're fighting with. Now, allow me to go and show what happened to Paul in the book of Romans chapter 7. We can't get into that area, but we just have to all understand. So that's why I'm not quick to beat people up. Well, we shouldn't be quick to beat ourselves up, because the Lord, God knows we love him. God knows this flesh. The Lord knows that we are an F up and a screw up almost every single day. Show mercy to others so he show mercy to you. Keep the commandments so he can show you mercy. And whatever he allow you to, whatever he allows you to understand in the book, do that and walk with fair and trembling. Not too much stuff. Verse 11.
Verse 11. We still in. I'm saying. Well, I thought you said we was going to 7.
Oh no, no. I said time won't allow me to go to Romans 7. I'm sorry. But no, we in Romans. Yeah, we in Romans 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 19.
Okay.
My bad, man.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ops is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
So not just the sinner mouth, but who mouth? Everybody got to stop with their mouth. Why do you think when you read the book of Jeremiah 31 and 31, matter of fact, let's go there. This is not part of the lesson. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, 31. I'm going to show, I'm going to see. Jeremiah 31 and read 34. Well, matter of fact, read 33 and 34.
33 and 34?
Yeah.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And
amen.
They shall
amen.
Teach
amen. Amen. So when you look, at this, it says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So when the book is saying that every mouth is going to be stopped, of course that's when everybody's mouth is going to be stopped, because we're going to stop talking about the things that we think, and then we're going to be start talking about nothing but what's written in the pages of the book. Go ahead and read verse 34.
34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Amen. So of course we understand that this is also understanding that this is why these mouths got to be stopped, because remember, when the Lord come back and he starts to operate everything right in this world, then everybody going to stop talking about the things that they think is right. Everybody going to stop with the mythos and the inventions. Everybody going to stop with the due bias, with the hesitating, doubting. All that is going to stop, and everybody is going to know what thus said the Lord. And there will be no more for that a teaching man. So this is a capital T-H-E-N, then, future, not now. Just something mindful to put on your mind. Just put on your heart. We get back to the lesson. Amen. Just a little something. But the book said in the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law says, he saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Because we read in the early in the book of Romans chapter 3 that the book said there is none righteous, no not one. So now we're starting to get the understanding of how filthy and terrible this flesh is too. That's why I understand that should no man have the gall or audacity to have his chest up and thinking he all good and straight. Yeah, I'm serving God. I'm doing everything right. We don't have that. We can't do that. And when we find out how filthy and bogus we are, that means we got to really stop pointing a finger at other people, because the flesh likes mythos and dubious. It likes that stuff. Because it really loves mythos, because that's your invention. But if it's your invention, if it's not according to the books, that means somebody can come through and tear you up to shreds, and then you will fall under the same category as dubious, which means hesitate and doubt it. That's why the book said, let the word of God be true, and every man a liar, so you don't fall up under dubious, which means hesitate and doubt it. It's so much stuff. The Bible OCD is ridiculous right now. So now I'm really learning how to keep my mouth shut and not to look at other people a certain way. That means I gotta show the brothers out through the streets some love. I gotta even show the people that go to church on Sunday love. And even the ones that do the Sabbath, or those that decide to do their own cap thing or blog talk show. It's just so much about this flesh that needs to be stopped. And if we don't check and see how filthy and messed up this flesh is, you can easily fall up under these inventions of your own heart and mind. And if you're not strong enough, you might slip off and start dealing with due bias, which means hesitating and doubting. Now let's work with this dubious. Let's find out some doubt. Yeah, prophets been doing some doubting too. Because now we about to find out a level in the flesh that the Lord can call a man perfect. But before we deal with that, we first got to deal with, matter of fact, no, we're dealing with that first. Let's check something out, y'all. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 37. Excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to the book of Psalms 37. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Because now we get an understanding on this thing right here. It's because a lot of people look at the word perfect, and they might get it twisted or mixed up. But it's something we need to understand. If God called a man perfect, doesn't necessarily mean that you're that perfect that Enoch was at, but just perfect enough for the Lord to call you perfect. It's because even a perfect man can fall up under the category of dubious. Let's find that out. First thing first, Psalms 37 through 39. I'm not cutting you off. When you get it, go ahead and read.
It says Psalms 37, verse 37?
37 through 39. You get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
Amen.
But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble.
Amen. So, hey. So, the 37, in verse 37, it says, mark the perfect man. And behold, the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So, of course, we understand that the Lord can call a man perfect, but doesn't mean that you're on that type of perfect. But it could be your level in the flesh that the Lord can consider you perfect, because whatever a measure amount he gave you, that's what you obtain it. Let's break all this stuff down. He called us a perfect man, right? Let's read about a perfect man, and let's see how a perfect man can still fall up in the category of this precept. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. Because the Lord called him, if the Lord called a man perfect, like, hey, you're looking pretty good if you call you a perfect man. Doesn't mean that you're on that, it doesn't mean that you're on that area that you can boast and brag over something fall upon you. God is bogus. You see what I'm saying? So what we're going to do, we're going to break all this stuff down. We looking good on time, too? Yeah, we looking good on time. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 1. And, Brother McCormick, we're going to read verses 1, and then skip to verses 6 through 8. So read verses 1 and skip down to verses 6 through 8. I'm not going to stop you, okay? When you get it, go ahead and read.
Job, chapter 1, starting at the 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Same one, go to verse 6.
Yes, sir. 6 through 8.
Okay, 6 through 8. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fear of God and escheweth evil.
Right, amen. So now we have proof that God called the man perfect. Yeah, we understood in the book of Psalms 37 and 37, it says the Lord said he marks the perfect man. So we understand that you can be called perfect in this flesh. Perfect in an upright man. But remember, the level the Lord gave him in the flesh, that's what he took control on. If the Lord gave Job a 9, Job is doing that 9. And the Lord gave Job a 7. Job is doing that 7. If the Lord gave Nakomi a 7.5, doing that 7.5. If the Lord gave me a 4, I'm doing that 4, then I might be considered a perfect man. Or you, Brother Job, that's online. If the Lord gave you a 7+, and you're doing your 7+, then the Lord might be calling you a perfect man. Or Sister Ray, Sister Mary, whoever.
Amen.
But it does not mean you are that Enoch perfect. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yes, sir.
Because if you was perfect, like Enoch, then he would have translated you just like him.
Yes, sir.
So you're not that perfect. But you just doing your level in the flesh that I gave you to be called perfect.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But a servant can get up under that category is dubious. Job 2 and 1, Nakomi. Book of Job chapter 2, verse 1. When you get it, go ahead and read. We're going to read verses 1 and we're going to skip down to 4.
Job chapter 2, 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord.
Amen. Skip down to 4.
4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face.
So the whole thing is, so what the Lord is doing right, what Satan is trying to do right here is to try to debunk the perfectness of Job. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to eliminate that measure that the Lord considered Job to be called righteous. But even though that didn't work, but certain other things that man did with the flesh entered into Job. So skip down to verse 7 and 8. Read verses 7 and 8 and we go skip.
7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes.
Hey, skip down to verse 11. We'll read 11 to 13.
11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great.
So now we get an understanding on this right here, right? So say the devil couldn't get him to curse God to his face. He couldn't get him to do that. That's a blessing, even though he tried to use his wife to get the job done. He couldn't do that. But he left something for him, though, that anguish and pain that Job had to bear his cross with. And sometimes when you bear your cross, why do you think God allowed his three friends to come down there? Because your cross can get real bare at times, and you can fall up under these categories of the one we're dealing with right now that's called dubious, hesitating, doubting. So the devil couldn't get him to sin against God through his mouth. But since he went through all this pain and suffering, maybe he can get him up under the category of dubious. Let's see what we're talking about right here. Let's go in the book of Job, chapter 4, verse 1. Book of Job, chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. I'm going to cut you off if necessary. You get it? Go ahead and read.
Job 4 and 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we assay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope in the uprightness of thy ways?
Now let's break this down, boy. This is a lot said right here. Let's start back at verse 1. So it said that Eliphaz the Temanite, he asked Job a question. You know what I'm saying? Because he knew that he was grieved. But, you know, he let him know, man, but who could withhold himself from speaking? So I got to say this, man. And we read verse 3, he says this right here. Behold, thou hast instructed many, right? And thou hast strengthened the weak hands. So what did that tell you Job was doing? He was there for his brother's adversity. That means he was doing the things to please God when it came to the brethren. And it also says that thy words upholding him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Whoa! So these are some of the things that made Job a perfect man. Therefore, brother's adversity, and then doing things and doing righteous things to take care of the people. When you turn around and read verse 5, it says, but now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest, it touches thee, and thou art troubled. Dubious. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? So his confidence is taking care of the things for the people. And that's what his hope was, too. Rightness in his ways. But you see, he did great things to help other people, but when they was in their adversity, but now Job is in his adversity, and now he's falling under the same line as Dubias. Which means unsure, hesitating, doubt. Why is all this stuff happening to me? What I do?
Wow.
But that's why the Lord, took his three friends. Because he knew that Job was going to be grieved with what was going on. That's why when they didn't say the right words, that's why the Lord was real pissed off at them. When this young man, Elihu, had to come and set them straight. But Eliphaz is saying some good stuff. He said, man, you all down the grave, but you was doing this stuff to help other people out. Why are you all down? I mean, why are you all doubtful? Why are you troubled? Because he's flesh and he's man. And that perfect man has fallen up under the line of dubious, which means unsure, questionable, hesitating, or doubting, uncertain. So now he probably checking himself, am I serving a God? Let's look at the craziness that's coming out of Job's mouth since he's fallen up under the line of dubious. Let's go in the book of Job, chapter 6, verse 1. So now since he's up under the category of dubious, we're in the book of Job, chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. When you get it, go ahead and read.
6:1. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balance together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore, my words are swallowed up, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me.
Now check this out. Yeah, I know you in pain and stuff, man, but come on. There's certain things that, you know, even though how mad and frustrated I get with life or myself or just things in general, you know, I'm not that perfect to be talking like this. Because if you was perfect, you would have got translated. You would have been transfigured. You would have been not found. But he's talking real crazy. In verse 4, it says, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. It's because of his pain and his grief. His friends are not saying the right answers to him. So now he's falling more up under that unsure. He's falling up under that category is also as uncertain. So now he's questionable. Now he's doubting. Now I'm uncertain. Now I'm dubious. And it's getting deeper and deeper because the brethren is not saying the things that they're supposed to say to get him straight. This is a perfect man we're reading about right here. Go ahead and read. Verse 5.
Doeth the wild ass brave when he have grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's all we're going to read with Job, you know. That's enough. We need to go into more of the reading of Job talking. You know, so it just shows
wow.
you the danger. It shows you the danger
wow.
of yourself, It shows you the danger of who's listening to you. It shows you the danger of being there for brothers' adversity and not doing nothing. And it also shows you, too, what's written in the book of in the book Ezekiel, when the Lord said, if people blow a trumpet in the city and you don't warn the people, then they're going to get cut off, but the Lord will cut you off, too. So it's a lot of danger we reading here. So he's talking about God tearing him off to pieces. And it pleased God to tear him off to pieces. I didn't do nothing wrong. God is tearing me up for no reason. You got your three brothers right there that say, man, you must have did something wrong.
God forbid.
God forbid.
Man.
So now we, wow. so even though the devil touched his body and put boils all on his skin, he didn't give him the curse, God. But he's still lingering around to see how much folly he can get up under that category of Dubai, which means unsure, uncertain. You see what I'm saying here?
Amen.
So we need to be careful of not to fall up under the category of Dubai's, of being uncertain, unsure. And that's what the Lord said, that a man is born for his brother's adversity, his hardship, his trouble, his anguish, his pain. That's what we're here for. Not to judge them or point the finger at them, but just tell them, man, it's going to be all right, man, and you got your brothers here. We're going to pray for you. We're going to fast. You know, remember, God is unanimous in mercy and forgiveness. And he always get his hand out to us. Those things are righteous and sure in God's eyes, instead of just pointing back, yelling, and talking at each other on what you think. So let's be mindful of that. But now, if the Lord has had enough of Job talking crazy after Elihu set him straight, let's go in the book of Job 38:1. And we're going to read, we got a lot of reading to do right here, bro. So I'm most likely I'm not going to be cutting you off at all. So I just let you go ahead and just get it done. But I'm gonna have to stop in for a couple of seconds because I want to say something. Because you know the Lord talked to us, we his children. You know what I'm saying? And whatever I put you through, Negro, you had to go through it. And I dare you to blame me for whatever I got you going through. That's for all of us. That's why you even gotta watch the thoughts that come at your heart. I always gotta try to catch myself, and when I catch myself slipping, I ask for forgiveness. Because this flesh is something. And we're starting to find out more and more on why the Lord said, why thou callest me good? There's no good but God. I'm in this flesh. This flesh is so terrible, who knows what it's going to think of or what's going to be coming out of it. Who knows? Mercy. That's all we get. And if you want mercy, show mercy to your brethren.
Amen.
Job 38:1. You get it, Bruce? Go ahead and read.
Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me.
Oh, so now it came from a perfect and upright man. Yeah, man, he said God's too evil. Now it's who you talking to. Gird yourself up like a man and answer thou me. Now, he ain't so perfect no more. Now I'm looking at all your folly and sin. Now I'm looking at you as who you are as a person. Because remember, the book said that love covered multitude of sins. So that love that he was talking, so when his friend was talking about the things he was doing for his brother's adversity in the book of Job chapter 4, that was covering up the sin that Job was doing. I'm not saying he was doing sin, but whatever issue a man has, that could have been a possibility of being covered up. But when we start talking crazy, then maybe this stuff is starting to open up. Now he's really starting to see you for who you really are. He's not saying that he's wicked or nothing. I ain't saying that. But the whole thing is that he has fallen up under that category of dubious a little too hard and a little too long. And I need to stop him before I got to kill him. So who was this? Who the hell is you, man? Who was you that darkened counsel about words without knowledge? Gird up now at thy loins like a man, for I was a man of thee, and thou and answerest thou me. Verse 4.
Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations?
But if you was a perfect man, you would have known that. The perfect that he, that level of perfect he think he on, he's now starting to see that you're not on that level of being perfect. Because I'm pretty sure with Edi got translated, the Lord showed him all things and measurement and stuff. You ain't nowhere near on that level, partner.
Teach, bro.
But go ahead and read.
Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issue out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, here too shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed, as thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might
take hold. Get down to 21.
Get
down to 21. Because we got to understand what's going on. And I don't want to cut this lesson out short. So skip down to verse 21.
21. Knowest thou it because thou was then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Has thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, scattered the east wind upon the earth?
That's enough. That's
divided.
Enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. So that's enough. So basically just showing you, I called you a perfect and upright man, but now I'm really showing you that you're not really on that level, partner. That level I gave you, you was obtaining that and doing that to the best of your ability. That's why I called you perfect. But I'm proving to show how good of a servant that you are. So this is why you was going to do that. And that's why I sent your friends down there so they can go ahead and keep you straight. But now you talking off the rockets like you somebody special. So I'm going to ask you all these questions and you answer me since you think you so right. Give down 37 and we done. Out of here. No. We good. We got what we needed out of here. So what we just understood is this right here. The Lord called Job a perfect and upright man. Job went through his trials and tribulations. Job fell up under the line of dubious. You know, he's starting to be unsure on things and doubtful. And that's why the Lord sent his three friends down there to get him straight. But they're not even executing the thing right. So now that word dubious that's up under Job is even get more stirred and deeper into his body. That's why we read the book of Job chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And what we just read in Job 38 is this right here. You ain't nothing. You was perfect because you did your part right. But you're not on that perfect level that you think you are. Because I can just keep on going off the measures and just really show you that you're not what you think you are. So this is just showing us something. Don't think that we doing so right and so righteous that we can question God. We can't question him. Who the hell are we? We ain't nothing. So he really showing us this. He's showing us a perfect and upright man. He's showing us a man that lost everything and still held on to his faith. And we also seeing that the Lord showing him mercy, even though the words came out of his mouth was worthy of death. But we all need to understand this thing. Don't think you on that level of perfect. And then you get tried and fall and end up in certain issues and situations. Don't start down now. And you don't want to fall up under the line of being dubious. Fast and pray, and let's stay close to the Father. Now let's go ahead and just read on how the Lord is good with doing this stuff by Himself, and the only reason why we're here is for His grace and mercy. Sometimes we do deal with that of being dubious, of being uncertain and unsure on things. But don't think that you're that righteous that you can just fall off the racket and do whatever. We're in the book of Isaiah 66. The book of Isaiah 66. We're in the book of Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to read just verses 1 and 2. It's because we need to start respecting God more. You know what I'm saying? We ain't all that in a bag of chips. I'm just letting you know right now, because if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be nothing anyway. So that's where the humility is. That's when the humility come in. That's when the meekness come in. That's when the temperance come in. And that's when the broken and contrite spirit come in, because you know it's the Most High God and only Him alone. Because He don't need us. If he was to cut us all off tonight and throw us in the ground, guess what? He was still righteous and holy. It was just in His eyes. And He would not be foul and bogus, because He's just and righteous, not us. And we just need to respect Him more on that, too. Because we do fall through things. But we just need to understand, He don't need us. He don't need us. Grace and mercy. Let's try to stay in that grace and mercy. We're in the book of Isaiah chapter 66. Read verses 1 and 2. Let's show how much of a bad spade He is. And we ain't nothing. Go ahead and read.
Isaiah 66 and 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest?
Uh-huh.
For all those things.
Go ahead.
For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembling at my word.
Right, so hey, I'm letting you know right now, I made everything. I made it for me. The earth is my footstool. What you gonna do for me? You know, but what I'm looking at through you guys is this right here. I'm looking for those that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. I'm looking for those that's of a broken spirit. I'm looking for those that know that they're not good enough. But whatever level of understanding that I gave them, they're trying to do the best they can to obtain that level that I gave them. And those of that contrite spirit, that broken spirit, I'm not good enough. So I'm not going to act like that I am good enough. Those are the ones to come back to get. But we're reading this just to really show you that all the stuff is mine. What could you do for me? Just to add on what was going on in the book of Job chapter 38. It's because, once again, we all have a level in the body that the Lord can consider a man perfect. But if we really was that perfect, then something would happen to us. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. When you get it, go ahead and read verses 1 and skip right down to 5.
Hebrews 11 and 1.
Uh-huh, read 1 and skip down to 5. It could be 5 or 6.
Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Verse 5.
By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Ooh-wee. So Enoch did this thing right. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So whenever he pleased God so well that he said, man, you did enough. Come on, man, come on. I'm translating you right now because you got this thing right. Because that's the level of perfect that got Enoch translated. I mean, translated. So if Job was that type of perfect, then he would have got translated because he would have pleased God on that level. So this is why I say that we can be perfect. But I'm really starting to believe and understand that it's a level to that. Everybody got a level that the Lord can call a man perfect. I might be a foe. If I'm doing that fold, then maybe the Lord might be calling me perfect. Or the Lord give a brother a 6 or a 7. What if they're doing that the best way they can? Even they might not understand we might not have the same understanding of everything, but they're probably doing the best that they can. They might be a 2. They're probably trying their best to do the best they can with that 2. So that's why I want to really stop pointing a finger at people because they're on a different level on certain things. And just try to be more understanding and just try to be more of a meek and a humble spirit. That makes sense to y'all? So let's look at some things that the Lord probably could have called Job perfect on. Now, let's go in the book of Job, chapter 31. Book of Job, chapter 31. This is during his agony and pain and stuff like that, you know. But he was saying some stuff that really caught my eye on things he was doing. And these are some things that we need to make sure that we do. So we're not paying attention to, like, his grief and anger and stuff like that, but we just could be dealing with the things that he said he was doing and the things that we should be doing. And I honestly believe that the things we're going to read that Job was doing is the reason why the Lord called him a perfect and an upright man. So we're in the book of Job, chapter 31, and we're going to be doing some skipping, bro. So we're in Job 31, read verses 16. Book of Job, chapter 31, verses 16, read that, and then we're going to skip. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Job 31, starting at 16. If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof. For from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering,
right.
If his loins...
Skip down to 21.
21. If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone.
Right, so he's like, so even though that he was talking his crazy and stuff like that, so I guess he just he's just talking and just let him know, hey, these are the things that I've been doing. You know, I've been taking care of the poor. I have not withheld anything from the poor or from the desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. You know what I'm saying? You know, so basically he's just really showing that he was there for his brother's adversity, and also he was doing the things of taking care of the little business when it was dealing with the poor and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And really being there with them and loving them. And he said that, man, if I didn't do these things, man, then let my arm be cut off from my shoulder blade, because I've been doing that. So I'm honestly believing, and to also, I'm also thinking and believing that this is also another reason why the Lord called Job an upright and a righteous man. Even though he's dealing with his issues of that due bias and stuff, but we're just really looking at this thing and really showing that these are some of the things that I believe that the Lord was calling him righteous. Because I got to go back to what the name of what my blog talk is to meet the spirit of meekness and charity, so y'all know I'm leaving this stuff out. Because he was taking care of the poor, and these are the things that he was doing. What was right. So we also understand that when we looked at Moses and Aaron and Samuel, you know, even though they had their inventions and stuff like that, but the Lord forgave them because they loved him. And the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's the two greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart and soul. And the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And you can also see that this is what Job was doing, that he was also loving his neighbor as himself. So we do see that Job was doing the work in the vineyard when it came to taking care of poor people. And it was also considered being perfect and upright and just. Now let's look at some more of this being perfect, upright, and just that we can do as servants of God, even though we have our issues in the flesh. Let's go into the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 1. The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 1. And we have one more after this, because I just turned around to my page, and there's no way we gonna get done with this at the right time. So we deal with this some other time. So we go read Acts chapter 10 verses 1-2, and then we're going to read and then we gonna go to the last spot after that, and that'll be it for tonight. So let's go to the book of Acts chapter 10. It's because believe it or not, man, when you look at more in this Bible, you can't get past love, and you know, so. These are the things that I believe is what saves us and why the Lord don't take us out, even though we deal with a lot of foolishness or even do foolish things or even teach stupid things sometimes that has nothing to do with him. Not saying that we do these things on purpose, but the Lord said that he forgave the prophets even though he took vengeance on their invention. It's because they was doing the best they could, but they humans, they flesh, they just slipped up. That I believe, I don't know. So all I'm trying to do is just let us out, is just try to reason together and just try to get an understanding on that. So we're in the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 1-2. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Acts chapter 10, starting at the 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God. Always.
That's enough. You see? So this Gentile that been helping out and taking care of, you know what I'm saying, and doing and showing his love was enough to give him the right answers and how to serve God properly. But remember, like I said before, I'm going to say it again. Everybody has a level in the flesh that the Lord can call a man righteous. Because he was a Gentile. Ain't no telling how he was trying to serve God. But it was the best he can do. And since the Lord saying that was the best he can do, the Lord just upped up some more stuff and showed him how to do it. But in verse 2, it says that a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Right? And alms is charity. You know what I'm saying? It's money or food given to poor people. So he even did things for poor people to help them out. So even though we fall in the flesh and might be dealing with an invention or also dubious, but all I'm saying is this right here, just do the best you can to serve God, and y'all better for dang on show, man. We all need to show this massive love to people out here on these streets and learn how to forgive people, because it's so powerful that it's going to also consider if you could be a God or not. Let's find this thing out, and this is last. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 82, verse 1. Book of Psalms chapter 82 verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1-5. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms 82 and 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, Selah? defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
Amen. So even on how to get that God power and to get back in the Godhead of the family, I honestly believe that the Lord just upped us up on game. You know what I'm saying? Even though that y'all fall through with these little inventions of you guys, you might fall through those inventions. You might fall up under that category of dubious, which means unsure, uncertain, because of people's inventions. But at the same point in time, it's this right here. Do the best you can to serve God and understand that the Bible said, let the word of God be true and let every man be a liar. And in order for you to even get a chance at becoming, of being in the Lord's kingdom, everybody be talking about knowledge. I'm just letting you know right now, love is going to get you down. Love and taking care of the poor and family and those that's in need is what's going to get us down. So even though we do have these issues in the flesh, but understand that love is the key that allow God to allow us to sit another day. And that's the name of my precept. The name of the precept is called Mythos and Dubious. Mythos is an invention that men come up with, and Dubious is hesitating and doubting. I hope y'all got some out of the lesson, and I thank y'all for y'all time. Yeah.
Are we still there? Okay.
Oh, Shalom, yeah.
Amen.
Amen, amen, brother. Amen.
Ooh. Hey, where are you coming up with these theories, man?
I'm a filthy rag that dwells in God's plan. All praise to the Father. It was something that he wanted on the table. I'm humble enough to allow, happy enough and allowed that he showed me something.
Wow. This is heavy, man. Man, it showed Job had, he was dubious.
Yeah.
It can happen to either one of us at any given moment.
Yeah.
Any time. Any moment. Wow. This
man.
Is a heavy piece, bro.
Yes, sir, it is, man. You know, that lesson was for me, too, man. That lesson was for me. You know, and I'm just humble enough and thank the Father that he allowed me to see the lesson, man. You know, because this lesson for any of us, you know, because anybody can fall up on these lines, you know what I'm saying?
If Moses can, brother, anybody can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a damn one of us can testify Moses.
Mm-hmm. You right on that.
Man,
you know, because this lesson could have went so many other ways. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to cut it short because it was going to take us somewhere else, and I forgot that I had at least we had 10 more left. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want nobody to get shut out. You know, just in case if they want to say something. So we left off at a pretty good spot. But the mic is open. If anybody got anything to say, any testimonies, any words of encouragement, now's your time.
Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom.
I'm saying good lesson, good on principle. Like Brother Job said, and anybody that deal with the scriptures, and if you really deal with the scriptures, you appreciate the prophets. And I see how God dealt with Moses, not on Moses' level. We saw how he just dealt with Job, ain't on Job's level.
Mm-hmm.
But He had to check him, and that's why anybody that's doing this, sooner or later, if you're really doing this, you got to come to the humble spot.
Man.
So you can understand that it ain't you, it's him. Like, matter of fact, he tells us in 1 Corinthians, he said he don't pick many noble people. He don't pick the high people. He pick the low people, said, because there ain't no glory in them. He said only glory is the Lord. You're going to have a history
right.
of people seeing you that you wasn't nothing. And so when
right.
you come to this great level, guess what? Everybody going to know, and the only thing you're going to be able to confess is what? It ain't me, it's God.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. He got to keep you in that humble spot. People wonder why we got to go through things. Got to keep you in that humble spot. And the other, another thing you said, yeah, there is levels at this thing, and you got to attain a level because he said, much given, much required. So if he gives you a lot, you got a lot. You got a lot to live up to.
Right.
A lot to live up to if you got a lot. So yeah, none of us ain't on the same level. All man created equal is a saying of man, not a saying of God. Okay? I'm 5 foot five. I'm 5 foot five and Jordan is 6 foot six. We ain't, well, guess what? We ain't created equal. Far as physical talent and athletics, okay, he got more than me. So we got to understand, yeah, he's got, I'm saying, even in Matthew chapter 25, when he said he gave you talents, he gave you something, he said, man, I want you to flip that and double that. So he has lots of expectations for the measure of whatever measure he's giving you. So, yeah, great precept, brother, great principle, great concept, like Brother Joe said, man. I hope the Father keep getting with you and digging, and I hope that you pray for more digging. Like I said, when I pray, I'll be saying, God, I'm trying to figure it out, man. Keep showing me the figure. I want to figure this thing out because I believe that you're real. And I'm saying I really – and you showing me that you talking to me. Reveal it. Show me how you want me to present you to the world. How you – this information, how you want to present this world. So I pray that the Lord just build you more and more in ministry, man. Oh, great job.
Oh, amen, bro. Thank you. That was very great words of encouragement, too, you know. Because, you know, sometimes, man, I'd be a little scared, man, just be looking at this stuff, man, you know, because I'd be seeing stuff, you know, and, like, definitely, like, you know, and just able to find these words and put the precepts in the finder, man, you know. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I mean, of course, I'm happy, you know what I'm saying? But at the same point in time, it's just scary because it's like, man, I ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? I ain't nothing, you know, and I honestly believe that's why the Lord deal with us like that is because we know we nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a blessing, man. I'm glad that the Father allowed us to get through the scripts.
Great witness, bro. Great witness. Well, anybody else have anything to say before we close out? Hey, Brother Isaiah Brown, do you have any closing comments?
That still wasn't enough, bro. You know, the Spirit of God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty, man.
And you all right? Well, hey. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, please, don't be dubious. Don't practice that principle. Well, grace and peace, everyone. Once again, thank you for listening to the Sounds of Liberal Waters radio show. I'm Brother Job Israel. You just got to listen to Brother Isaiah Brown. Out of Peoria, the Spirit of Meekness, and Charity Bible Study Class, and reading from this evening was Brother Nakomi Swanson, out of Minneapolis, the Nation of Peace, out of Minneapolis. Once again, we want to thank everyone for your time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles, y'all. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Do the most high's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yahweh. really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.